Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's open up to Ephesians chapter 4 this evening. We're going to start over here. And Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 22 and 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24. Hallelujah. I know we've been over here before, but can you be in some place too many times? That's like saying I ate pasta yesterday and I'll never eat it again. Not going to happen. Verses 22 and 24 in Ephesians chapter 4 says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. In verse 24, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So in verse 22, he says, lay aside the old self. And in verse 24, he says, put on the new self. So he's telling us to put off one and put on the other. Put off the old self, but put on the new creature that you've become. Put off the old ways and the old manner of thinking, and put on the new ways and new manner of thinking. Put off old habits and put on God's manner of life. Put on God's thinking. He says his thoughts are above our thoughts and his ways are not our ways, but he invites us to come up to think like him and to walk in his ways. Isn't that right? And we do that by putting off the old and put on the new. And the idea of putting off and putting on is the idea of clothing, you know. And, you know, you're going to go home tonight and you're going to change what you're wearing to wear something else for sleeping. Isn't that right? Well, when you take off the clothes that you have on, you're not going to take them half off. No. You're going to take them off. Isn't that right? When you get ready to go to sleep, you're not going to put sleep clothes on over what you're wearing. No, when we take off what we have on, it's completely off. Unless, of course, we choose to pick them back up again and put them back on. Those clothes that you take off, they can't get on you by themselves. They can't just jump on you, can they? No, no. Well, it's the same thing with our old life. It's the same thing with our old thinking and our old ways. It's not going to just jump on you. You've got to choose to pick it up. Now, I could tell that some of you may not agree with that, but it's true, because there may be a manner of way that you thought, and I could actually talk to you about the things you used to think about, and I'm talking to you, but you don't have to take those thoughts. They might come at you, but you don't have to take them. You know, how many times have you opened up your closet and something screamed at you, wear me, wear me, wear me, but you don't want to wear that. Okay, nobody? No, that happens, doesn't it? But you don't have to wear it just because it's screaming at you, wear me. You know, I go to the store sometimes and there's clothes on the rack and the clothes yells at me, buy me, buy me. And my wife walks by and goes, don't touch that. So it doesn't, so in the same way, that old thinking and those old ways, they can't just jump on you. They can yell at you, but you have to choose to pick it up. Isn't that right? We have an inheritance to put on. We have an inheritance in Christ, and we have to put that on and walk in it and wear it and put off the beggarly living that we were in as a sinner. So we put off one, put on the other. Well, right in the middle of verse 22 and verse 24 is verse 23. So verse 23 tells us, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So in order to stand strong and not put on that old life again, the old ways and the old manner of thinking, or fall back into the same old habits and the same old pressures and the same old sins, to do that, we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. It's getting renewed in the spirit of your mind that puts off the old, puts on the new. Getting renewed in the spirit of your mind keeps off the old and keeps on the new. Amen. Vincent's word study says about this renewal that it takes place not in the mind, but in the spirit of the mind. And the change is not in mind psychologically, in its essence or operation. And it's not in the mind as if it was just a superficial change of opinion, of doctrine, or practice. Because how many times have we done that? Oh, I can't think like that. I can't think like that. I can't think like that. Okay? Well, and that's a good thing to know that. But that's not being renewed. Like you're just trying to change your opinion. Okay? So it's not a matter of a change of opinion. It is actually a change in the spirit of the mind that gives the mind a whole new bent and a whole new material of thought. That when an old thought comes to you, you bend in a whole different direction. When a decision comes to you that you have to make a choice, you bend in a different direction in the way you used to bend. You don't pick up the old habit, well, this is the way I've always dealt with this. It's not the old responses, well, this is the way I've always responded to this situation. No, there's a whole new bent. You just automatically bend in a different direction. You don't have to pull on that string that says, what would Jesus do? You automatically bend. See, your mind is getting restored and renewed to where your soul bends in a whole different direction. And when it comes to that situation, you have a whole new material of thought now. You don't think like you used to think about it. You're now thinking according to what the Word of God says. Amen. So it's the spirit of the mind that when that gets changed, it radically alters the entire sphere and business of your inner mechanisms. The whole inward operation of you changes. And if the inward operation changes, so does the outward. See, if you want the outward to change, the inward has to change. Isn't that right? Amen. So our values, our attitudes, temperament of personality, it all affects our lifestyle. When we change and that restoration takes place in the spirit of the mind, how we think, how we reason, how we calculate, how we perceive, how we reckon, how we react, totally changes. Amen. You know, there was a day when somebody could have got in your face and you had no problem punching them out. A couple of people are nodding their head, see? Other people are like, I ain't saying a word. But then you get changed. And you don't even react that way anymore to somebody getting in your face. You know, it was, okay, I have to tell you this story. Because, okay, and some things I hate to admit to, but before getting saved, I used to be a thief. It went along with the whole lifestyle that I lived. So when I got saved, you know, the Bible says, let him who steals, steal no longer. Okay. So that was something I had to work on. So, okay, we got that straightened out. You know, we got all the life's changed and everything. So one day we're in the bargain barn when Pastor Ned first found out about the bargain barn and we started going down there. You understand the bargain barn? The bargain barn is stuff that's left over from Goodwill that they couldn't sell. And they've got them on a discount in the bargain barn. Okay, this stuff is like, you need an imagination to buy it and to be able to figure out, what can I do with this? So we're in the bargain barn, right? And a woman that was a customer accused my wife to the manager, accused my wife of stealing something that was worth 25 cents. Now, of course, my wife got upset with me because I didn't really defend her because I was too busy laughing. I'm like, you got to be kidding. Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me. You know, and I mean, my thought goes back to the fact of if I was going to really steal something, you never would have known about it. This is 25 cents. Are you kidding me? So I wasn't reacting in defensiveness. I wasn't reacting in trying to deflect. I was not reacting in trying to come up with excuses or reasons or other stuff, right? It was just like, you got to be kidding me. My whole reaction was different. you know, that you would accuse me of stealing, or accuse my wife, actually, but I was with her. But you would accuse us of stealing something, which was like, you got to be kidding. And my whole reaction to the whole situation was totally different than what it would have been, you know, 30 years ago. Does that make sense to you? That's the best example I could come up with on such short notice. But it's about your soul takes on a whole different bend. Takes on all new material of thought. Your reactions, your responses, your perceptions totally changed. And that's going to be one area at a time. This is not just like you wake up in the morning and everything's all there. You have to work on those things. This isn't just going to happen. This is not going to be like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord, you know, change me. No, it's not going to work that way. You got to get in the Word. You're going to have to deal with stuff in your life. Get it out. Put off the old. He didn't say God's going to put off your old and put on the new. He said, you put off the old and you put on the new by getting renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what we have to do. That's our place, right? Go over to Luke chapter 9 for a moment. Luke chapter 9. We're going to read verse 51 through 56. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56. He said, when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. And the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. So here's a situation. The Samaritans are not receiving him. And they're kind of being disrespectful to him. So the disciples are a little ticked off about this. And they're like, you want us to call down fire? Now, notice Jesus didn't say, you can't do that. Right. That's something you should understand. He didn't say, you can't do that. He's telling them, no, you shouldn't do this. See, in other words, they're saying, guys, I know this is a normal reaction for you, but it's not right. I realize that this is just the natural way and the normal way of handling things, and this is the way that you would normally react or normally would respond. You don't like the fact that they're disrespecting me, and I understand your perception and response to it. But that's not what we do. Why would they think that that was normal? Well, Elijah did it. Elijah called down fire on the Mount Carmel. He called down the fire on the captain and his 50, remember? They were disrespecting Elijah, and Elijah said, well, if I'm a man of God, let fire come down and consume you and your 50. Boom! So the king sent another captain and another 50, and they disrespected Elijah and said, you come down here, the king's calling you. He goes, well, if I'm a man of God, then let fire come down and consume you. Boom! Consume them. Who want to play next? You know, isn't that right? So that was considered normal. But Jesus has given them what? A new way of thinking. See, that was the old way of thinking, but now there's a new way of thinking. Now consider these apostles. When Jesus ascended and the apostles went out, every one of them except John was martyred. Isn't that right? And yet the apostles didn't rise up to defend themselves. They didn't fight, did they? They didn't get a group of people behind them to stand against those that were coming down against them. What did they do? They laid down their life. Why? Because they were radically altered. Over here, they wanted to call down fire. But by the time that came, they were laying down their life because they were radically altered in the spirit of their mind. The bend of their soul changed. They took on a whole new material of thought. They started thinking according to love rather than defensiveness. And nothing works in the kingdom without love. Amen. So this renewal in the spirit of our mind, it takes place under the influence of the Holy Spirit, but through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God. See, Jesus spoke to them. He gave them a word. Isn't that right? And when he spoke to them, that gives the Holy Spirit now a chance to work in a person's life because of the word. This is why your opinions don't matter when you talk to people. It's got to be the word. The word is what counts. The word of God is the power of God. Our opinion is limp. Amen. We have to take in the word of God so then the Holy Spirit can influence us as he acts on the human spirit to affect our realm of thought. You know, how many times have you taken in the word and maybe you didn't really think about it, but you were taking it in and you were hearing it, and then you came across a situation and boom, all of a sudden the word rises up. And you have to make a choice and a decision. Well, what's the word doing? The Holy Spirit now is trying to affect you in your thinking because of the word that you took in. Without taking in the word, there is no influence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes. And the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit wants to influence you, not control you. Right. He'll never control you. He'll only want to influence you. The choice will always be yours. Isn't that right? As we allow the Holy Spirit to influence us, then we're being restored to the original condition in our soul. So little by little, that soul was being changed into the original condition that God had created in the image and likeness of God. When we got born again, we were born again spiritually in the image and likeness of God. Now our soul was being changed and restored and renewed step by step. And in the future, then our body will be brand new. And then we will be spirit, soul, and body in the image and likeness of God. What a glorious day that will be. Amen. Amen. Romans 12, 2. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that this Sunday is Sunday night service, 6 o'clock, believers meeting. We changed it because Easter is the last Sunday, so we changed it to this coming Sunday. Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't be conformed to this world or to the old man, to the old ways, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by putting on the new man. Amen. Yes. Transformed out from the old into the new. When you got born again spiritually, you were translated immediately out of the old and into the new. Became a new creature in Christ. But your soul has to go through a process. The word of God changes the attitude of a person who seeks greedily after God as they once sought after sin. How greedy were you to sin before? You know, how many things did we run after? And we wouldn't let anything stop us, talk us out of it. Nope, that's what I'm doing. Well, that same type of attitude should be running after God now. Amen. Don't be conformed. It means don't be fashioned together with. It's the Greek word souskamatizo, and it means don't be fashioned together with. To fashion alike, to conform to the same pattern in your soul and in your life. Don't in your soul act and think according to the old ways and according to the world system. Don't let your life be a reflection of the old man and the old system, but be renewed. Be qualitatively new. It means a renovation. Go through a renovation. Yeah. How many of you ever renovated furniture? You know, you renovate furniture and we say it's restored and looks new. Isn't that right? Well, it's restored. It looks new. It looks good. But guess what? It's the same old furniture. Mm-hmm. It's just looking good. Amen. That's what being renewed means. Now, that's a different word than over in Ephesians when it said be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That word renewed over in Ephesians means to reform and to make new. Not just to look new, but to make new, to make young again. That's what it means. Yeah, don't get excited over that. We ain't talking about your flesh. Yeah, I know. That day's coming. So it's not only is the furniture that's renewed in the spirit of your mind, not only is that furniture looking good, but it is totally new. Not just new in a finish, but new all the way to the core. It's totally new. It's a new piece of furniture. And that's what that means. And when you're renewed in the spirit of your mind, you become brand new. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, isn't that one of the benefits of the kingdom that David talked about in Psalm 103? That your years be filled with good things and your youth be renewed like the eagle. It's taking on the thinking and a lifestyle that is indicative of restoration from the Word of God and influence of the Holy Spirit. Yet your life now is a reflection of the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life and the influence of the Word of God. The more you renew, the more you restore, the more of the inheritance we can walk in this life, and the more rewards we can store up in eternity. Amen. Why is that? Because being renewed, listen to this, being renewed and being restored is the number one way that a believer serves God. Number one way a believer serves God is getting renewed and restored in your soul. Where are we? Verse 2. Look at verse 1. Move it up to Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Your life, that is a reflection of the influence of the Spirit of God and the Word of God being renewed and being restored, that life becomes a life of worship, which is your spiritual service to God. That is the number one way a believer serves God, is bringing a reflection from the earth back to heaven. A reflection of worship to God. Being renewed and being restored. Glory to God. Because a lot of times people say, well, you know, I don't know how to serve God. I don't know what to do to serve God. Well, start getting your soul in order. It's the best place to start. Amen. You know, a lot of times, well, I'm not going there. But that's the number one way to start. You start with you.
Yes. Always does.
Amen. So an expanded rendering of Romans would say something like, don't be molded by the external and fleeting fashions of this age, but undergo a deep inner change by the qualitative renewing of your mind. Amen. Such a transformation can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit, being changed from glory to glory. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? We, our part is to do what? Take in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit does the renewing. Yeah. But you got to give him something to work with.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, it's like a lot of times we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to direct us, and God, you know, show me this, and, you know, but, you know, it's like I said many times, on any given day, I can go home, open up my refrigerator, and I'm never going to be getting anchovies out of it. You know why? Because I'm never going to be putting any in. And since I don't put any in, I can't get any out. See, and we want the Holy Spirit to talk to us and do all this stuff, but we didn't put anything in. But yet he's the revealer and guide in the truth. See, if you put the truth in, he can guide you and direct you in that. But if you're not putting anything in, he doesn't have anything to direct you with. I have found this, that when I got really dry in the Word and I wanted the Holy Spirit to speak to me, he'd always say the same thing. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. I remember going to ICFM conventions. I mean, I'm pastoring and everything, but I'm like, oh, I need something from God. I got to have something from God. And I go to the ICFM convention. And I'm like, God, I'm coming to the convention. I need direction. Well, you know what the whole convention was about, don't you? Getting the word. That's all it was about, getting the word. And you know, what's the normal response? Well, I know that. Right. That's why you're not doing it, because you know it. Right. Because you know, if you knew it, you would
do it.
That's right. If you're not doing it, you don't know it. You only think you know it. You're a talker, not a doer. And I'm talking to myself. That's what I was doing at the time. And there's a happy thought for you. But you know, one of the problems we have, and you know, we are a three-part being. We're a spirit, we have a soul, and us and our little pet soul live inside the house called the body, right? And one of the problems with our life is that many times we live by feelings. Or some people are only concerned with doing. You know, when I went to the meeting and I need to hear something to do. What do I need to do? Get in the word. So if our life is based on feelings, then we always say things like, well, how do I feel today? How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my wife? How do I feel about worship? You walk in those doors back there and go, how do I feel about the pastor today? Amen. But you know, a life of feeling will never know the transforming power of God, because a life of feeling will ignore the renewing of the mind. But then there's also the life based on doing. And a life based on doing says, give me your theology. Tell me what to do. That's what I was doing. I went to the IC event. Tell me what to do. Give me the 4 points for this. Give me the 7 keys for that. Give me the 7 steps to have my prayers answered. I need to do. But the life of doing will never know the transforming power of God, because it ignores the renewing of the mind. And your life will never change if you ignore renewing your mind. Now, God is not against feelings. He gave them to you. He's not against doing. He's given you the ability to do. And God, I don't know if you've noticed this by reading the word, he is a God of very powerful and passionate feelings. And he commands us, be doers of the word. Right? But yet feelings and doing are completely insufficient foundations for the Christian life. The first question cannot be, how do I feel? The first question should never be, what should I do? The first question is always, what is truth? What is the truth here? That's always the first question. You remember Martha and Mary. Mary's so busy what? Doing. Then she had her feelings hurt because Mary wasn't helping her. She's run by her feelings. She's run by doing. But Mary's doing what? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what did Jesus say to Martha? Mary has chosen the good part. Not the only part, but the good part. Why? Because unless you sit at the feet, there is no feeling and there is no doing. You're in works.
That's good.
And you're in nothing that's going to produce results. And what was she doing by sitting at his feet? Hearing the word. Amen. The major purpose and the number one reason in serving God in a Christian life is growing up and being discipled. Number one. Once you're born again, your whole life is about growing up. Being discipled. Amen. Amen. You know, look at it in the physical realm. When do you stop growing? Yeah, come on, don't make me give you a hint. When do you stop growing in the physical realm? That's right, when you die. That's when you stop growing. You know, at 73, I'm still aging. I'm still growing. I'd like to grow taller, but I'm not going in that direction. You understand what I'm saying? We're always growing. We should always be growing. As a Christian, you should never say, well, I've been saved 20 years. I know all that. You don't know squat. Because, and same with me, I've been saved now for 43 years. And compared to what God knows, what do I know? Squat. I don't know nothing. Now, compared to somebody that might have just got saved, I might know a little bit more. But you know what? You could be an old foolish king that has forgotten how to receive instruction, and greater is the lad that has just come out of prison. There are those that have just come out of the world, just got saved, and they could be in a better position than somebody that's been saved for 40 years and forgot how to receive instruction because they're not growing anymore. The ones coming in the door just came out of the world. They're excited to grow. Are you with me? So growing up never stops in the kingdom. So I could say that if you feel like you're done growing, you're probably dead. Okay, that's a metaphor. But as usual, where is the battle? It's always in the mind. It's the battlefield of the mind. We've got the new man on the inside of us warring against the old man on the outside. The old man is the desire and the nature of the flesh. Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. He talks about the spirit and the flesh. Romans chapter 6 is all about that. Remember? You know, he talks about the I joyfully concur with the word of God in my inner man, but I see there's a different war in my outer members. And they're waging war against each other. And that's where the battlefield is. It's in the mind. The mind can be set on the flesh, or the mind can be set on the spirit. If the mind is set on the flesh, it's going to be death. If the mind is set on the spirit, it's life and peace. Amen. The word of God renews our mind so that we can battle against the old man and not let the old man be in charge of our life. And I know sometimes you want to open that coffin lid up and pull that old man out and say, sick him! <You know? laughs> Is it only me? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But that's the idea of the Word of God, is to control the flesh. You can't get rid of the flesh. You have to control it. Your spirit man has been born again, a new creature. Your soul is more and more, as you stay in the Word and be influenced by the Holy Spirit, you're being renewed, being restored. So your soul is getting in agreement with the Spirit. And therefore, the two in agreement can now control the flesh. And that's what it's all about. Battling against the old man. And having desires grow on the inside of us to live more and more of a godly life in this world. Getting your mind renewed is not about trying to get something. Well, I'm trying to get in the Word because I need healing. Oh, I got to get in the Word because I need this. Oh, I got to get in the Word because I got to. Mind renewal is not about getting something. It's about becoming. It's all about becoming. When you become, it produces the getting. Becoming. Amen. You know, a lot of times, and you know, we've said this before. That somebody needs healing in their life, and you lay hands on them, and you can pray for them, and all kinds of stuff, but nothing seems to be working for them, because they refuse to forgive like God's talking to them about. They refuse it. See, they're not becoming what they need to become, so they can't have what they need to have, because what they refuse to become is actually the thing that's blocking the thing that they need to get. See, Jesus was the most powerful person on the face of the earth because he was the express image of the Father's nature. The Father's nature. See, that's where the power of God is. It's in who he is. It's a word of his power. It comes out from him.
That's right.
And Jesus was that express image on the earth. And because of who Jesus was in the Father, Jesus was powerful on the earth. Amen. There comes a time when we have to step out in faith and tell our senses to be quiet, that we're going to believe God's word and we're going to stand on the word no matter what. Amen. Amen. And after doing it several times, your mind gets used to it. Your mind's going to shake. Your emotions are going to rattle. You're going to get all worked up. That old man is just going to be scared to death of what you're doing. You know, your old man is going to yell like Peter, "What's going to be left for us?" Yeah. You know? And after a while, your mind will settle down. It'll get used to it. Yeah. This is what we do. You know, how many of you remember when you first started tithing? Yeah. You know, was your flesh like really, "Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to give our money away. Glory to God." No. No, your flesh wasn't like that. Your flesh didn't want nothing to do with it. Your flesh fight every step of the way. But now, well, it's gotten used to it now. Your flesh knows there's no talking you out of it.
That's right.
So it just settles down. Amen. So your mind will get used to it. And the more that you stand on the word of God, refuse to move off of it, your new man, the inward man, will become stronger and stronger, and the old outward man will get put off. We're the ones that are going to do it. God don't do it for us. But yet we can use only what he's provided for us, which is his eternal word and the influences of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Okay? The word timidity in the Greek, it actually means an inward fear that prevents you from taking action. It's funny how so many times we say things like, "Well, I'm not in fear," but we won't act on the word of God. And we'll say things like, "We're not in fear," but we have all these reasons on why we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we'll say all these reasons except, "I'm afraid." And the biggest fear, of course, is the fear of the flesh, is afraid it's not going to work. Because, well, what's going to happen to me if it don't work? Oh, you're going to believe God for healing, but what if that doesn't work? What's going to happen to me? Oh, you're going to believe God for your needs to be met, but what if that don't work? What's going to happen to me? See, and that's what the flesh always does. What about me? What about me? What about me? And it creates a fear, and therefore we hesitate on doing what we should do, because we've actually taken on the timidity and inward fear that's preventing me from action. Amen. But he's given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of discipline, which is a sound mind. A disciplined mind is a sound mind, because a sound mind is set on the word of God. You know, the Apostle Paul, I believe when he wrote to Timothy, he talks about the sound words. Give yourself to the sound words. Well, sound words, the word of God, creates a sound mind. And a sound mind creates a disciplined mind. Because a disciplined mind is not going to be wandering all over the place and in all different directions. It's going to be set. Yeah. The disciplined mind isn't going to get into the middle of a situation and it's going to be bouncing off the walls, concerned and worried and don't know what's going to happen. A disciplined, sound mind is going to be settled, stable, and strong. And a sound mind is part of your salvation. It's part of the Greek definition of the word for salvation, sozo, soundness. Soundness of mind. It's part of your salvation. Amen. A renewed mind. It's part of your inheritance. It belongs to you.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Now, we could say things like, "Well, I've never had a sound mind." But yet, it's possible to obtain it, because it's our inheritance. It belongs to us. He has given us soundness, discipline, sozo. He's given it to you. When you got born again, it's in you. That discipline comes out in self-control. That discipline comes out in patient endurance. Discipline. Amen. Not letting just anything run out the mouth. Well, who was it? Pastor Ewellen's grandmother would always say, "Sister, if it goes through your head, it don't have to come out your mouth." I guess that's an old expression. I never heard that growing up in New York. I always heard, "Shut up." That's all I ever heard. They had such nice expressions down here. So it doesn't matter if you have or haven't had a sound mind. You can always have one. You know, if the Word of God declares it, you can have it. You know, if you can see it, you can have it. Can you see yourself with a sound mind? Can you see yourself with a disciplined mind? Can you see yourself without bouncing off the walls in your thinking? Can you see that? If you can see it, you can have it. That's part of meditation, getting that imagination working, imagining the Word of God working in your life. You know, I've heard people say, and believers, I mean, I've heard believers say this through the years, "I can't do that. I can never do that. I can never seem to get it together. This just drives me crazy all the time." You know, no matter how many times I've done this, I never get it right. I always have a problem doing this. You know, I'm just known for making wrong choices. And everybody knows it. People say this stuff all the time. But why do they say that? Because they believe it. You can get them to not say it, but that doesn't mean they don't believe it. You know, that's the old confession correctors we used to have in church. "Oh, don't say that, don't say that, don't." And I understand that you have to change what you say, but you got to change what you believe. Whatsoever things you, I'm sorry, it says, "Whosoever says to the mountain and does not doubt in his heart." Don't doubt what in his heart? What he says. Then he'll have what he says. It's not he's going to have what he says because he said it. It's all about what's coming out of your heart. So we're back again to the nature and becoming, and therefore giving power to that which is coming out. What you allow into you will develop you. What you allow to come out from you will create for you. Wrong things in, wrong things out. So if I get developed in the wrong things, then I'm going to have created in my life the wrong things. Oh, I'm known for just making wrong choices. Everybody knows I make wrong choices. You're developed in that, you believe that, and you say that, and things never go right because you continually declare what you believe. I make wrong choices. Amen. Our inheritance that we receive from God does not include things like "I never can," "I never get." It's driving me crazy. "Never get it right." "I always have problems." "I never make right choices." That's not your inheritance. Your inheritance is, "I can obtain wisdom. I may not know how to, but I can get wisdom. Answers belong to me. I'm not sure about the choice here, but answers belong to me. I can get the answers of what I need to do. I can be led by the Holy Spirit. I don't have to be led by my feelings, my emotions. I can be led by the Holy Spirit. I can be instructed by the Word of God. The Word of God is a great instructor. The Holy Spirit will take that word and direct my life. I can get to where I need to be. Because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me and he sets my path. I walk in the light of the word. It's a lamp to my feet." Amen. You know, back in 1990, and I had my automotive business. And the Lord said in January of 1990, "Sell your business. It's time to go full time in the ministry." And, you know, I had a verse from 1 Timothy chapter 3. "If you desire the position of an overseer, you desire to obtain a good thing." Okay, well, that's what I believe that God wanted me to do. So I was going to sell my business. He said to sell my business. Okay, so what did I do? I tried. I really tried to sell the business. I tried all year to sell the business. I tried for 2 years to sell the business. I tried. Yeah, it didn't work. I was on an emotional roller coaster for 2 years. I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't sell. I couldn't figure out why this wasn't working. I knew that God said to sell the business. There was a question I forgot, one word that I forgot to ask. When? So when he says, I want you to sell the business, what he's doing is getting me prepared to get ready. We're going down this path now to sell the business. It doesn't mean jump on out there and go sell your business. I was never good about asking questions, and I have to get better at that. So when he said, sell the business, I could have said, when? I remember the first time I heard the voice of God, 1981, and I had just gotten saved, and I was having problems on this job. I was working 40 hours a week. I was getting paid for 20. That's not good. You got a family to take care of. That's not working very well. So I went home to pray and find out what I needed to do. Realized I was so full of anxiety, I would never hear from God if I prayed. So I got in the Word of God to deal with the anxiety, got rid of the anxiety. And I just said, Lord, what do I do about this? And the Lord said, leave work. I'm like, yeah, okay. No questions. Okay, leave work. I jump up. I'm running out of the bedroom. I'm so happy. And I stop for a minute. I go, where am I going to go? And the Lord said, I'll make a way for you. All right, good. Okay, that'll work. So I go to work Monday morning, give him my 2-week notice. Well, God didn't say to give him a 2-week notice. So after a week, I still don't have another job. We're coming to the end of 2 weeks. I still don't have another job. And the service manager comes over to me and he goes, I know that you're leaving. Do you know where you're going? I'm like, well, not yet. He goes, would you like another week? I said, that could help. So I stayed another week. And then in the next week, a man approached me and said, I believe God wants me to hire you to come to work for me. And when he said that, it was the same anointing as when I was in that room and heard from God. I'm like, that's my job. And he goes, don't you want to hear about salary? And I said, no, nope, I'm good. It's my job. I'll take it. I had no idea. You know, I got my diapers on. I've got my thumb in my mouth. I'm so excited. You know. Well, the new job wound up doubling my annual income. So, yeah, thank God. Thank God for his mercy. So here I am now, some years later. I got my own business now, and I'm trying to sell it. And God was trying to set my path to get ready to sell the business. But I was running. You know, he set the path, but I'm already running. I'm running towards the goal. I'm selling the business, and I'm way out ahead of God. And I tried for 2 years. I never let go of the vision. I continually said it. He wants me to sell the business. I mean, I had my hand on the pull rope to pull the doors down and go, God, I'll give the business away. I'll give it back to the bank. I'll do what I got to get out of here. And the Spirit of God said, I told you we're going to sell the business. I go, okay. Okay. So a man comes in one day and I'm really busy. And he says, you know, I know that you want to sell the business. He goes, I'd like to do an evaluation for you on your business and the value and all that. I'm like, fine, go right ahead. I was just busy. I said, go ahead, bud. So he does it, and he comes back in about a week or so. And he goes, I've done an evaluation on your business about value, about equipment, about property and everything. And he says, and this is what I've come up with. And I look at it with him, and the anointing of when the Spirit of God said, sell the business, was right there on that report. And I said, that is what I need to do to sell the business. I said, that's what I'll do. The business sold in a month. 1 month. What did I do to sell the business in a month? Got out of the way. So I tried to do it without following the Holy Spirit. I tried doing it without renewing my mind. I just tried doing it in works. And I could have, you know, I could have done what a lot of people did. I could have said things like, well, I tried, but it just didn't sell. Well, I tried it. Yeah, I tried it, but it didn't sell. And what do we normally do? You know, we say things like, well, I know I was supposed to sell it, but it didn't sell. I don't know why it didn't sell. You know, nothing was working. And then we wind up doing what? Blaming God. He didn't sell it. I don't know why, what the problem was. You the problem. You know, I could hear the Spirit of God say it to me. You the problem. You know? Has he ever said that to you? I've heard that on a number of occasions. Yes. You are the problem. And if I don't hear God say it, I have my wife to tell me. But the bottom line is, if you don't quit and if you don't let go, God will get to you. He will get to you. You know, he sent that man to give me that report. He got to me, okay? We'll have to make the choice whether we're going to follow, you know, or not. But, you know, that selling of the business was part of my inheritance. It belonged to me. You know, when it came to the selling of the house, we were in the house for 44 years. And it came to selling the house. And we knew we were supposed to sell the house. Well, this is 44 years now. I've raised my kids. I've raised grandkids. You know, we've had a lot of church memories. We've had a lot of things to remember about the house after 44 years. We did all the remodeling in it, the restorations. I mean, everything was hand-picked and designed exactly the way we wanted it. And then we did, us and Pastor Morgan, did all the work in it. So it was kind of a special house. And there was no house around like that house. And, you know, so I had to deal with that. And I had a hard time kind of letting go of it. I didn't want to sell it. Because I was like, well, what about the memories and all that? And one day I'm sitting up, it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just sitting before the Lord thinking about the house. And this is what rose up in me. God, I thank you. I thank you for all the memories. I thank you for all that's taken place in the house and all that, you know, the children and the grandchildren and everything that took place, all the memories. And I said, I can take those memories with me. That I don't ever have to forget about them. I don't need the house to remember. I just need to remember. And when I did that, it was like I disconnected emotionally from the house. And then we got together and we talked and said, yep, we're ready to sell the house. And then we did some things to prepare. And then when we said, okay, let's sell it, sold it in a week. Amen. And my grandson sold it. Amen. Amen. We have to make the choice to follow. But God is always going to do what he can do to influence us to walk in his path. We need to walk in a soundness, renewal. Soundness is part of renewal. And renewal is part of our inheritance. Well, let me just close with this. The Phillips translation of Romans 12:2. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed. And thus you will prove in practice that the will of God is good, acceptable to him, and perfect. You can't prove it outside of practice. That's the whole idea of getting renewed, is to put it to work in your life and prove by practice that God's will is good. Amen. Don't let the world squeeze you. The world wants to mold you into itself, which is actually where our personality has come from, for most part. It's the experiences, the upbringing, the background, everything we experience as life has created our personality. But God wants to remake you. You know, Jesus had the perfect personality because it fit every situation. Isn't that right? Amen. So we can be molded by God through his word. We could form our thinking and our actions to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We can walk in and take hold of more and more of the inheritance that's been already deposited in us when we got born again. And we can take hold of that and we can walk in it more and more in our life and prepare rewards in eternity. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, just lift your hands to the Lord. Father, we bless you. We honor you, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you are more than enough in every situation and everything that we deal with and in anything that we deal with. Thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That because you are the way, we won't get lost when we follow you. You are the truth, so we can't be lied to. And you are the life, so the devil can't kill us. I thank you, Lord, that we will fulfill what you have sent us to do. That we'll walk in your purposes, Lord, upon this earth. That we will be the people that you've called us to be. Now, Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now that you would just seal these things on the inside of us. Bring them back up within us, that whether we're in the room, whether we're on live stream, on social media, wherever we may be within the sound of my voice, Lord, that this become a reality in each of our lives, Lord, that it become a regular occurrence of taking in the word and then being directed by your word. We take in the word and we're directed by your word. That the Holy Spirit influences us, affects the way that we think, Lord. That our minds be renewed, our minds get restored, that the spirit of our minds starts to change and the whole bent of our life goes in a whole different direction. That our mind gets set, walks in, and leans on the things of the Spirit by the word of God in every situation. Father, I thank you for it. I bless you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come before you with our giving. Father, you said in your word that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. So we come with our seed to sow, and I thank you that the seed will produce a harvest. And Father, that as harvest comes, that we'll have more seed to sow, and as we sow more seed, more harvest will come. And it's true as what you have said, that you bless us so that we can be a blessing to others. So Father, I thank you for increase. I thank you for abundance. I thank you that you supply and multiply back to us seed for sowing and increase the harvest that comes from our righteous acts of giving. We thank you and bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.